Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Yeah, it is.
This has a couple different levels here on it.
It does.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Southern Swath of Wisconsin. I'm in Waukesha on 540 AM. That's WAUK, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. You're over in Madison on 1580 AM. That's WTTN, as well as Devil Radio 92.7 FM. Check us out on devilradio.com. Or Devil Radio, I'm sorry, the Devil Radio app. You can check us out
at devilradio927.com, though, as well. Yeah, that is a place you can listen to this fine program.
And then finally, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We will be getting your calls very momentarily, but I do want to read. This is somebody I used to know. This goes out to Ron Johnson. But I also want to say this goes out to a lot of people's friends over the week, over the weekend, because I know a lot of people who have unfriended a lot of people for rejoicing just a little too much in the, you know, losing of rights. And then, you know, to go and have it brought down to, well, stare decisis. Stare decisis my ass is really what I'm saying. They misled everybody.
I'm not saying that it shouldn't have been overturned just because of precedent. It shouldn't have been overturned because an individual has the constitutional rights to privacy and body autonomy. I wholeheartedly believe that during the height of the pandemic that organizations and businesses could have themselves mandated vaccines to enter either the workplace or enter the place of commerce. I believe that the government cannot force you to get a vaccine. They could force you to have proof of vaccination to be able to travel federally. They can ask you to get it
and then warn you before you get fired,
I would say. But there is nothing saying that the government can force a needle in your arm with a COVID-19 vaccine. I've never believed that. I've never advocated for that. But the fact is that conservatives are claiming that there is a forced birth mentality to a woman. If a woman has a pregnancy that she does not want, that she, no matter what, no matter rape, no matter incest, no matter anything, that she does not have the right to her own body. She has to bring that pregnancy to term. And that's wrong.
Honestly, the most important thing is, you know, Nick being really freaking pedantic about it. Nick's pedantics is really more important than losing the rights. You know, going and saying, oh, the stare decisis, well, it's a really weak argument. You know what? That doesn't change the fact that people have lost their rights, you pedantic effle. Anyway.
hang on. Nick, I appreciate your call. And if you've got a conservative viewpoint like Nick, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Because if the best that you can say is that the argument that we're talking about is lazy, and you can't defend the overturning, if the argument is, well, they can do it. Yeah, watch us do it. Yeah, that is a big indicator of why we are where we are right now, because the entire GOP is now a party that just wants to own the libs. That's all it is, Brian. That is their founding principle, and it's the only thing. So no matter what a liberal party in the country is for, they're just against it. And that's just what the mindset is.
Even if what they're advocating for is actually a liberal policy, like, I don't know, having Biden control the means of production of oil because they don't know what the hell they're talking
about.
Because they want a strong man to bring down the price of oil.
Yeah.
Because they're weak people. They're all weak people and need somebody else.
That's a lazy argument, if you ask me.
I don't really give a crap. You're lazy to go and call and, you know, completely ignore. You're lazy because you ignored the fact that somebody's rights were removed, you jack. Anyway.
But getting back to the other shout out from that song intro, somebody you used to know, Brian, tell us a little bit more about.
I will in just a second. Okay. I do want to share with you Lake Superior.
Okay, let's do that.
Lake Superior has a Twitter feed.
Yep.
And Lake Superior.
And to be fair, it's not the actual lake. Is somebody's got
has Lake Superior.
Somebody has an account on Twitter that is at Lake Superior. And they tweet as if they are the lake.
Yes.
And it's
like
very
God
comical.
Like God on Facebook.
Yes. Yeah, unless there's a God on Twitter as well.
Unless you guys think that's really God, in which case I wouldn't be surprised. Because they would, because they worship that God and follow him, but never actually read anything in there. Just, you know, think, because if they listen to God on Facebook, they laugh.
But anyway, to Lake Superior.
Lake Superior. This lake vehemently stands with women having the right to choose. And Ryan chimes in. Yep, I follow Lake Superior for political takes. Man, can't anything just be fun?
And then Lake Superior let this Twitter unknown person have it, right, Brian?
Oh, yeah. To begin, water is one of the most politicized resources in the world. I, sir, and water.
True.
Secondly, if you need to unfollow an account because one in every 432 tweets from a satirical geographic Twitter account is a political political instead of fun, you need to work on your fragility. Thirdly, a large portion of life is not about being fun. A lot of life is about standing up for the rights of others, especially in the face of pedantics, Nick. I mean, especially in the face of historical imbalances that have historically favored cis white males while leaving others greatly disadvantaged. And then someone replying, Lake Superior just absolutely handed this guy his ass, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And then someone also replied, Lake Superior hasn't wrecked anyone this bad since the Edmund Fitzgerald.
And that was my favorite tweet of the day.
Yes.
That's a good one.
So Lake Superior stands with you.
Yeah.
You know who I don't stand with is Senator Ron Johnson.
No. And Brian, when I was getting off the air on Friday, there was some breaking news about the senator, and so we shared it here on Devil Radio.
So did he lie or did he mislead everybody?
We're still finding out, because this is the fifth iteration of his story. Because last week, the House Select Committee on January 6th.
Meeting tomorrow, by the way, noon.
They are meeting tomorrow. Station. Right here, you'll be able to hear it on Devil Radio 92.7 and The Shaw, 101 FM. At 12 p.m. Central Time, we're going to take those hearings gavel to gavel. But during last week, Tuesday, we found out that Senator Johnson actually played a role in the January 6th hand delivery, or attempted to play a role in the handing off of the fraudulent electoral ballots for the state of Wisconsin and the state of Michigan on January 6th, 2021. And since then, Senator Johnson's been kind of reeling. He's been changing his story pretty frequently, flip-flopping back and forth, saying, oh, it was nothing. Oh, well, we looked into it, but it wasn't a big deal. Or the vice president just said he didn't want it, so we didn't deliver it because he didn't want it, but it was an unnamed intern, and then it was my chief of staff.
I don't know anything about it, but here are some random facts about it.
Yeah, so all of a sudden we're learning that he may have knew a lot about it. And so he was confronted by a reporter in the airport at Milwaukee, General Mitchell's airport.
Good for you.
On Friday, and he was leaving. He must have been returning home for the weekend, coming back to Wisconsin, and he was confronted asking, why didn't you fire your chief of staff? Some basic follow-up questions of where he was at and at his point of the story on Friday, Brian.
I got those cuts if you want to hear them.
Yeah, we could share them with the people. But essentially, the senator admitted to playing a, quote, two-minute role in the handing off of the fraudulent electors.
Well, a lot of people played a two-minute role and now have gotten themselves, you know, a lady pregnant. So, again, 2 minutes doesn't necessarily mean it's not important. I'm sure that he should know that, right? Does he have kids of his own? Does he care about
kids? I believe he has three.
Well, I do know his stance on kids, and it's not really that good. I don't know if you know that. He doesn't feel that
the society doesn't have any obligation to help anybody's children, right?
Yeah. That's really good. Here's the actual quote.
I've never really felt it was society's responsibility to take care of other people's children.
You know, the whole public education system doesn't count whatsoever. Great job, Senator Johnson.
Great job. But so he was confronted in the airport. He essentially, you know, it went from last Tuesday to saying, I don't know anything about that, to on Friday admitting, oh, yeah, we might have played a minor role in that. And so it's pretty telling. And the fact that the senator's office is doesn't have its story straight on this and cannot come down on what role they actually played on January 6th.
It's almost like we were right the entire time.
Seems like he might be culpable for some of the actions and the violence that took place that day, Brian, because he was playing a leading role in it, not a supporting character.
He was trying to play a leading role in it, or his staff.
He was prepared
doing stuff
to be a leading
without
role.
Him knowing. In which case, he doesn't know how to run his own staff.
Yeah. So it's going to be fascinating to find out. Maybe, who knows, because the January 6th committee has gotten so much more information that rather than wait until after the 4th of July holiday, because they were planning on going on recess, Brian. They weren't going to have any more hearings until after the 4th of July. And they announced today that they are going to have another hearing scheduled for tomorrow at noon. We're going to broadcast it live here on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, on the Shaw 101 FM out in Waukesha, as well as the Devil Radio app, so you can listen to the hearings wherever you are, gavel to gavel, starting at noon tomorrow. It's going to be interesting to see if this kind of rush of evidence and information that the January 6th committee hearing or the committee received will be in tomorrow's hearing, because I don't think the senator's ready for any more news bombs in involving his name, Brian.
Well, being a reactionary, he's not really ahead of anything. Let's talk to Mark from the SAC. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing great. Doing great. And Ron Johnson should be reminded that attempting a crime is still a crime. Being involved in the planning of a crime is still a crime.
Her neck was too thick. I couldn't slit it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and you might need to define pedantic for our conservative callers who don't know what the word means, that it is just we hear the arguments, and I mean, up until...
I'm sure they'll look it up, Mark. They always look everything up.
and up until 1870s, children were still considered mostly property, I mean, because it wasn't a crime to beat your kid to death here in this country. I mean, and up until, you know, the 1950s, women were still more or less considered property because husbands could more or less beat their wives, and nobody really said anything about it.
You got to also understand, Mark, that child mortality was, like, really, really not good. I mean, like, people learn very quickly not to get attached to their kids. And if their kid, who was, let's say, a runt, survived, runt for lack of a better term, I'm not dismissing those kids, but if those kids were, let's say, you know, injured but then survived, or maybe, you know, were weak afterwards, those parents looked at those kids like they were a burden and a challenge, not trying to support them type of thing in general, because it was survival of the fittest, because freaking infant mortality was ridiculously low.
The reason we cleaned up our water supplies is because of the mortality it caused on everybody. But of course, now the Republicans don't care. They care about the fetus, and they don't want to see abortions. But yet they fail to provide any kind of protection, like prenatal care support for mothers, or protecting the child from the exposure to all the contaminants. Republicans just think, hey, I'll just dump that in the environment. It just doesn't matter, you know, that the PFAS or lead or mercury or whatever else, you know, that hazards are in the environment. They actually do have an impact on infants and infant mortality.
Well, Mark, you understand?
What their life is going to be like. It is just...
Mark, God will take care of it. It's part of God's plan for them to dump stuff in the swamp, right?
Yeah, and Mark, I mean, if they were truly pro-life and pro-kid, they wouldn't have more than 190 Republicans voting against legislation that, you know, would address the formula shortage. We'd have the Republican Party be in favor of expanding Medicaid here in the state of Wisconsin, because we're one of, I believe, 13 states still that hasn't expanded Medicaid. That would be one of the best things that we could do right now to help newborn children in the state of Wisconsin.
We're behind our neighboring states.
We're prepared to kick free lunch programs out of schools that have been delivering much needed support amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The Waukesha School District wanted to end that program right here in this listening area.
They had no idea that people were poor in their own town.
That is the mindset that the Republican Party has. If they were truly pro-life, they would be advocating on all of those fronts to expand access and help mothers and children. And they're not. They're pro-birth.
People,
and that's what it is.
In Waukesha, thought there weren't poor people in their own town. They thought that every kid was already provided for and that the parents were just, you know, providing for or just not providing for, and they're just trying to skate by on some government program.
Yeah, they're just looking for free handouts. That's what the citizens of Waukesha truly believe. Republicans in Waukesha wanted to end the free school lunch programs because of that mindset. And
what a Christian philosophy that is.
Brian, not a single Republican. Last week Friday, Congress passed the largest expansion of common sense gun safety legislation. Bipartisan. There were Republicans on board. 15, I believe, in the Senate, 14 in the House. Not a single Wisconsin Republican in Congress. Not U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Not Tiffany, not Gallagher.
They booed John Cornyn.
Yeah. None of them voted for the the slightest step towards reducing gun violence in America.
But at least the kids are doing drills. That's the important thing.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789.
I see you, Jeannie. We're going to come back to you right after the break.